Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, there's lots of different ways to participate in the market this week. We've seen lots of volatilities, tons of uncertainty. What asset classes should you own? What should you not own, right? This is the perfect market to try to understand sort of multi-asset class approaches and how to mitigate risk and all of these different kinds of things.
And so multi-asset class investments, we'll call them an alternative investment. Mm-hmm. Because the conventional way of investing is either just in stocks, just in bonds, cash. Those are pretty much the simple ways of investing, and you're hoping for everything to go up. When we look at multi-assets, we look at an alternative way of investing to lower volatility or give us access to a market that we don't have access to using conventional means.
Right.
And so this is a time where we want to refresh people's memory on this type of investment. But let's talk about how the program has been going and what have been the opportunities and what surprises multi-asset managers in a market like this.
Yeah, so how has it performed and how are you setting up? What did you expect? What's happened? All of those things are great questions. We've got Michael Sager, who's a regular recurring guest with us. He's the Vice President of Multi-Asset and Currency at CIBC Asset Management. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Very pleased to be here.
So let's just talk a little bit about the multi-asset absolute return strategy. Maybe we could just start there with the idea of this particular strategy that you're one of the brainchildren for, and one of the lead portfolio managers. Talk to us about what this idea of a multi-asset absolute return strategy actually is.
Yeah, well, the key thing is that it has much more opportunity either to add value or to protect, you know, in periods of volatility like you guys were talking about. Sometimes you need to play defense. Well, that's easier to do in a multi-asset strategy because lots more asset classes to invest in. Equities and bonds like a traditional portfolio, but commodities and currencies, we can take volatility positions if we want to. We can go long, but we can also go short. And that's a useful capability when markets are very volatile, when markets are selling off. So it's that breadth of opportunity to really exploit the most rewarding theme at any one time. I think that's where a multi-asset strategy really comes in. And it's very different to a traditional long-only solution.
Right.
So, Michael, let's chalk up how this year has gone. Markets have done some really great numbers again this year. When we speak about equity markets, when we look at fixed income, surprising to many that we've seen as much of a drop, almost double-digit drop in prices of fixed income. We're seeing a bit of a change happening as we speak. Friday was crazy in the markets from what's going on. From a multi-asset management perspective, how did you look at this year starting? And then give us an idea of where you see things. Are they different than what you saw at the beginning, comparisons to how you see them now?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, we started off the year expecting growth to be fine, and I think that's broadly been the case, but an acceleration in inflation. And if we look back in the rearview mirror, I think that acceleration in inflation has been stronger than expected. You know, for across the board, I think people have been surprised by how much inflation we've seen in the markets. So I think those have been the two key macro themes. What was growth going to do? Broadly fine, and that's been the case. What was inflation going to do? And I think we've been surprised along with everybody else on the upside. And then those macro perspectives, you know, interplay with the views on asset markets. And broadly, at the start of this market, we thought equities were increasingly expensive. And I think that theme has just been confirmed further, given the performance of equities through the year. But the other interesting theme that now is beginning to develop is that from a multi-asset perspective, bonds are becoming much more interesting, bonds in the developed markets. So when we look at the risk-adjusted return that we expect from developed market bonds over the next 6 to 12 months, it's very comparable to equities. That's not been something we've talked about for a couple of years now.
So let's kind of break down that a bit more, because I think when you say bonds seem as attractive as stocks, I'm sure many people watching or listening to this are saying, bonds are going to do 20% returns? Is that what we're expecting? So kind of drill down on that a bit more, Michael, for us, because I think we got to kind of explain to our audience what the expectation of equities and fixed income going in the future look like.
Yeah, well, to our mind, equities, we shouldn't be expecting 20% for sure. Equities are obviously driven importantly by the underlying growth environment. That environment, we've said, was expected to be okay this year, and it has been. But as we go into 2022, growth is likely to slow. And events like the resurgence of COVID risk that it slows quicker than most people currently think, but nonetheless a slowing. And in the context of stretched equity valuations, you know, expected returns to equity as an asset class are going to be more modest next year, we think, and the year after that than we've seen recently. So I think we have to reset our expectations a little bit down into the low single digits for the time being. And then if you look at bonds, agree, we're not looking for bonds to shoot the lights out, but we've seen a backup in yields. We've seen a drop in their price over the last few months. If growth is going to slow by more than expected because of events like COVID, then that will lead to a rally in bonds. And there's an opportunity there in a multi-asset strategy, not necessarily a traditional portfolio, but a multi-asset strategy to deploy some risk into bonds. And that's what we've done. We're long Canadian sovereign bonds. We're long Australian sovereign bonds, for example. And of course, on a day like today, that's working quite well.
So we've got about a minute and a half left before we have to go to commercial break, Michael. What surprised you in 2021 so far?
I think the big surprise was over the last couple of months, the extent to which the markets embraced policy tightening. So if you look at the Bank of Canada, for instance, about a month or two ago, the comments out of the Bank of Canada were very sanguine, steady as she go. And then the market suddenly switched on to the possibility of more aggressive tightening. And we've now got about 125 basis points of rate increases for the Bank of Canada priced for next year. And interestingly, the Bank of Canada hasn't sought to dampen that expectation. So that was a pretty violent move. And it certainly impacted the markets and surprised us. So that was the big surprise in September and October.
Well, we're going to have to take a commercial break here pretty quick, Michael. But when we come back, I'd love to get an idea of the positioning of the strategy now versus how you're positioning going forward, given what you've seen. But listen, we've got to make sense of all this stuff as well, right? People, regardless of volatility, if inflation's running high or low or whatever the case may be, we still got a lifestyle to lead. And we have to figure out how to make all of that work.
Yeah, we're going to talk about how to profit and protect in these types of markets on Tuesday, December 7th, live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, well, stick around after the break. We're going to figure out how to make some money given all of this volatility and how to position your portfolio. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.